Today's show is being brought to you by Bob's Red Mill, believers in good food for all. Learn more at bobsredmill.com/podcast.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. We are a member-supported nonprofit food radio station. That means that every single thing we do, from broadcasting 35 weekly shows for free to bringing you exclusive content from sold-out food events across the country, to offering scholarships to high school students, is only possible thanks to the support of our loyal members. And we want you to join the club. Become a member during our 2017 summer drive to get access to sweet swag and pledge your support to the world's only food radio station. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate to become a member now.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and I am really excited about today. One, I am finally healthy again, so thank you. I'm hoping my voice is normal again. And I am interviewing Joanne Rittenhouse, all about the Animal League, regarding court support therapy dogs. So I just want to get started and find out as much as I can in as little time as we have. So, Joanne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us about your organization. I'm so excited to learn about this. I think it's really super cool.
Well, thanks for giving us the time to talk about our wonderful program.
Oh, my God. It was my pleasure when I found you. I was like, this has to be shared. This is just, it's such a great idea. So I'd just like to get started with the interview, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Sure.
So let's start off with, can you tell us what Companions for Courage does?
Companions for Courage is a group of therapy dogs and handlers. Our dogs are therapy dogs. They're not service dogs. So they are allowed to, now they're allowed to go into the court system. And all of our dogs are registered and insured through either Alliance of Therapy Dogs or Pet Partners or any other national organization. And we actually sit with children during testimony, through depositions, testimony, whatever it takes to help them get through that difficult time.
So what made you think this up?
I didn't. I can't take credit for that.
Fair enough.
This was a program that was kind of starting throughout the country. And then there was a motion passed, actually a bill written, in 2011. It was 92.55 in Florida, which is, if anybody wants to look it up. Mm-hmm. And it was allowing therapy dogs to start being used in the courtroom setting. And then we just had a new bill passed called the Best Friends Act. That's a great name for it, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's perfect.
Governor Scott just signed the bill, and it kind of enforces us to be able to go into the courtroom and court proceedings and depositions and, you know, have the children sit with our dogs and be able to testify.
I think it's just amazing. And so, basically, I mean, what is the simple purpose of having these dogs in the courtroom for the kids?
Well, if you think about it, courthouses, courtroom, the whole setting is really, to me, I felt intimidated just to go to do jury duty. If anybody's had to do jury duty, I don't know if they felt intimidated, but I sure did.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So now think about walking into a courthouse with, you know, most of the time these children are alone and it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. Maybe the family was involved. Or maybe they just don't want the family there because of too much emotions. So you got a child walking into a courtroom by themselves in an intimidating building with all these strangers and facing a person that hurt them, whether it's a crime that they witnessed or a crime against them.
Mm-hmm.
This is really scary for a child. So what's better than to have a fluffy dog next to you that you can reach over and pet? Sometimes the children aren't, you know, they have to sit up when they're in the witness stand and mm-hmm. be able to speak to the jury. So one of the things that we suggested for the children to do is make sure they have shoes they can kick off.
Mm-hmm.
And if the dog is under the witness, because the dog is in the witness stand with them, so if they kick their shoes off, they can run their feet through the dog's fur and have that, still knowing the dog is there for them.
Oh, that's really nice. Wow, this is just I love this idea, especially, you know, it's funny because when I was first researching you guys, it was like I was wondering if this was kind of like, you know, for kids in a situation of like an ugly divorce, like a Kramer versus Kramer kind of thing where they have to choose what parent they want to go to. And even that, I mean, I can't even imagine how hard and scary that would be. And just having someone on your side who's just sitting next to you would just make all the difference in the world, I would assume.
Well, even if you have your own dog, you know how that dog comforts you?
Mm-hmm.
So a therapy dog, they're a little more in tune, and they just know to be calm. All of our dogs, I like to call them bomb-proof.
Nice.
All of our dogs, like I said, are registered and insured therapy dogs, and they all have to be a therapy dog for a minimum of 2 years.
Oh, nice.
Therapy dog. Because the last thing we want is a dog to get up and start barking during testimony.
Oh, God.
Or just get tired and want to leave and be impatient.
Mm-hmm.
So our dogs, we're really careful about who we bring in. They have to go through an interview process. And we have, you know, an animal behavioralist there. We have a veterinarian on our crew.
Nice.
And we really want to make sure that this is not going to be an animal that's going to be a problem in the courthouse. Because it's a serious thing.
Yeah, seriously. So, and I can't imagine that all judges would be really cool, like if one dog started crying or whining or, you know, got antsy and wanted to walk around. I would think there are a couple judges out there that just would not be impressed with this at all, you know?
Yes, and actually when we first started this, it was hard to get the judicial system on board.
Really?
They were a little apprehensive. I mean, think about it, dogs running around the courthouse. They're not really running around, but that was the, you know, the what they thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
We stay, as a handler, we stay with our dog through the entire process. That being said, none of the handlers have any kind of therapy. We're not psychiatrists or psychologists. We are just there to handle the dog. We don't say anything or do anything. We have to have a poker face. And we're just there to handle the dog. And like I said, sometimes the judges in the very beginning, they didn't want the jury to know that there was a dog there.
Oh, wow.
So we had to hide.
Oh, God.
We had to hide in the witness stand with our dog. And now it's getting to be a little bit more recognized, so
good.
We don't have to hide anymore. And, you know, the judge is okay with us being in there. So it has helped a lot that now we don't have to hide under the witness stand.
Oh, my God, that must have just been the worst. Like, everybody get crammed down with this poor kid's feet, you know?
Yes.
So how does this work? Are there, like, dogs available in the courtroom always? Or does, like, someone have to register to get one to show up for their court case? Or?
Well, right now we are the only approved therapy dog group in the 9th and 5th. Circuits in the state of Florida.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we're spreading out, and we're looking to bring in new teams. As this catches on, we're getting more and more calls. You know, there's a lot of people who like this program. And what happens is any judicial service, lawyers, counselors, any law enforcement, Department of Children and Family, school counselors, any of those can call us in for to be involved. And the ideal way for us to do this is we have a couple meet and greets with the child. So the child gets to be comfortable with our dog.
Cool.
Then from there, we go to deposition. And then if it goes to trial, then we're right there for the trial.
Wow.
One of the things that we had discovered, my very first cases, we had worked with a little girl for a couple years. Sometimes it takes years for this to actually get to trial. And when I was leaving, the little girl cried on the steps saying, "I'll never get to see Newman again."
Oh, God.
It felt so terrible.
Oh.
So one of the things that we decided to do was just because the case is over doesn't mean the pain is over. So we stay in that child's life for as long as they want us.
That's amazing. Wow, I wasn't expecting you to say that at all. Actually, to be totally honest with you, that never crossed my mind. But if I was one of those kids, I would be one of the kids crying because Newman's gone. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like, that's wow, you guys go so far and beyond. That's awesome.
Everybody's very dedicated. We have a really dedicated group of volunteers. We are all volunteers. None of us get paid for this. Sometimes these cases might get moved 3 hours away, and the teams have been wonderful. They will go 3 hours away.
Wow.
That's what it takes.
Wow.
We've never turned down a case. I had one phone call an hour and 15 minutes before trial asking we could have a dog there.
Wow.
And we got a dog there.
Wow.
That's how dedicated these teams are. We really believe in this mission.
Wow, you guys are amazing. I mean, I'm sitting here just, I'm at a lack for words because I just, what you're doing is just so good. And the dedication is so intense and so involved, you know, that this is just, you guys are amazing. I just want to give you a big hug. This is so amazing to hear about this. And, you know, especially for kids in like grown up situations, you know, where there's big words and a lot of scary people. And, you know, I'm sure like if anybody's, any kid that hasn't been to court yet has seen like court scenes on TV and stuff,
yeah,
they're always intense. You know, the judge is always kind of scary. So, like, I just love that you are able to give these kids some security and some confidence and some peace and like some sort of peace of mind and peace and quiet while they're up there.
Yes, yes. That's, and one of the other things we've tried to do is that the children's lives are so out of control.
Mm.
So we put a nice photo album together. And when I get a call that, you know, there's a request for a dog, I usually have an idea of who's available, so I'll give them a list of a couple dogs, and then we let the child actually go through the photo album and pick what dog they want, what companion they would like to work with.
Wow.
That empowers them. That puts some power back in that child's life. Because
mm-hmm.
let's face it, at this stage of the game, everything is totally out of control for them. They may not be living at home anymore. They may be in foster care. They may be in a group home. So everything is totally out of control for them.
I got
but
it.
To be able to have that choice of, hey, this is my friend, this is my companion.
So, I mean, what is a typical case that you deal with kids about? I mean, is this all custody stuff, or does it just run the gamut?
It's all different. It's criminal, you know, sexual abuse, sometimes custody cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've witnessed a crime. You know, all children really want out of life is a family and a mom and dad to
yeah.
take care of them and love them. And sometimes I guess that's asking for too much, which is really sad.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible. But I love the fact that you guys care and that you're there to help. I mean, this is, it's funny, you know, this is a topic that I guess, you know, I've been very fortunate in my life, and it's something that's never really crossed my mind of even kids testifying in a courtroom. You know, like I said, it's like anytime I think of a kid in a courtroom, it's some awful divorce situation, which stinks, too. I don't want to make light of that. I mean, if a kid's
right.
got to go and choose what parent they want to live with, I mean, the amount of pressure there just must be staggering, you know. But it's amazing at all the different things that you guys are able to help these kids with. And so what kind of dogs do you guys have?
We have all kinds of dogs. We have big dogs and little dogs, and most of our dogs are rescues.
Oh, nice.
Which is wonderful. We have one dog who is mine, and I don't like to brag about him, but I'm going to.
Please do.
His name is Carl, and Carl is a white boxer. He was born deaf, and I didn't know how to communicate with him, and somebody said, well, why don't you teach him some sign language? So Carl, at 5 weeks old when I got him, I started teaching him American Sign Language.
No way!
Yes, and Carl is 6 years old, and he knows over 120 signs in American Sign Language.
Holy cow!
So he's an ambassador for deaf dogs, for special needs dogs.
Oh
we do
God.
Have a couple special needs dogs in our group, and like I said, you know, most of them are rescues.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes to prove what a great job. You know, go to your local shelter. There's plenty of dogs that need a home, and special needs pets rock.
That's wild. And so with the kids, I mean, do you have like any tripods and stuff like that?
No, not at this time, but I'm sure in time we will.
Do the kids have a preference on the special needs? Like, will kids go towards those animals more, or is it just kind of like, he's fuzzy, I like him?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, some children like little dogs, and sometimes we get a request. We just had a request last week, no labs. I don't know why, but
interesting.
That's okay. No labs.
Totally, totally. At least they've narrowed it down for you, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, some children like, you know, are more drawn to a small fluffy dog. Some children like a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
Some children like a big dog because they feel protected.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cases that I had, and you know, as you do this, you start to realize so many things that you never knew were going on. But one little girl had said to me, what happens if, you know, she knew that the person who hurt her was going to be there and she had to face that person.
God, that must be so scary.
She said, what happens if he gets up and comes after me? will Newman protect me?
Whoa.
And that was just a whole other aspect that I didn't even think about.
Wow.
And of course I said yes.
Yeah.
I don't think he would, but I didn't want her to know that.
Yeah, totally.
But if that made her feel that I'm safe, then that's what it was all about.
Wow. I hear you on that one. Wow. And so, I mean, I'm assuming that you've had adults contact you to see if they would, if you could do one of the courtroom dogs or the court support therapy dogs for them. Do you do any adults at all?
The way that the bill reads is we are allowed to go and accompany children up to 18 years old or any adult with disabilities.
Oh, okay, cool.
So we have had a few adults that, you know, we've accompanied to court to. When we first started this program back in 2012, the first year we might have had two or three cases. That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing about three, four, five cases a month now. That's how busy we are.
That's awesome. And this is only in Florida, correct?
I believe Oregon has their own courtroom therapy dog.
Mm-hmm.
We call ourselves court support therapy dog.
Mm-hmm.
There are other areas that are doing it. It would be nice if it would catch on across the country because it's such a great program.
It's just, it's brilliant. And it's, you know, I love this kind of thing because it really, so many people, you know, the more I do this show, the more I realize, like, you know, how much animals give back and in so many countless different ways and really the level of intelligence that they have. And it's like, this kind of thing just seems like, it just seems like a no-brainer, kind of, after talking to you, because it's so effective, and it really, really helps. And I love the fact that you're able to alleviate some fear off these poor people that are going into court and have to deal with, like, an incredibly stressful situation. So at least they feel like they've got somebody on their side, you know?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I have no doubt that these dogs know what they're doing.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, come on, they obviously know what's going on. And I mean, they can definitely feel the energy coming off the kids when they're nervous and stuff like that. There's no question, you know?
Yeah, and actually what happens a lot of times, too, is, you know, the whole courtroom setting is so stressful for everybody, even the people that work there,
yeah,
that even the attorneys and the judges all say, can I have a minute with the dog?
Oh!
So it's not just for the victims. It's also for the court staff.
I love it.
Sometimes we get to do fun things. There's National Adoption Day every year,
mm-hmm,
and we get invited to Orlando to do National Adoption Day, so we get to see the fun side when all these children are getting adopted.
Awesome.
You know, and we do get to do some other fun things. One of the other things that we had been asked to do is if we would start working with the Department of Juvenile Justice,
mm-hmm,
which wasn't our mission to begin with.
Yeah.
But when I put it out to the teams, most of my teams signed up and said, yes, we'd like to do it. So we also work in some of the youth prisons.
Wow.
Because, you know, a lot of those children don't realize that dogs have feelings.
Totally.
Some of these children are involved in dog fighting and don't understand the other side of it.
Wow.
So if we can go in there and just change one child's thinking,
mm-hmm,
then we made a difference.
Big time. Big time. And it's, you know, for these kids, too, it's like, here's something, you know, that's going to come over and it's going to give you some love and it's going to treat you the same as it treats an adult. And so,
yeah,
I think that's huge, too, because, I mean, it's... Kids in a stressful situation, I work with kids, and kids in a stressful situation, so many of them just kind of get cornered, and, you know, they just kind of get pinned up against the wall and kind of cornered just by their own fears and their own thoughts because they're children and they're dealing with adult issues and they don't know how to process that. And so to be able to have somebody there, and especially like somebody fuzzy and cute, is so much better than like, okay, so this person's going to help you and this person's going to sit with you. Like, oh my God, when I was a kid, I would have been so much happier having like a dog or a cat around when I was scared than like, you know, a babysitter, let's say, or, you know, some person who's like, this person's going to help you. You know, it's, God, it's such a good idea. I love this.
And the dogs are non-judgmental too.
That's a great point.
You know, a lot of times when the children are giving their deposition, you know, they're sitting there with a bunch of people they don't even know. They're telling their story. They're telling a horrible story. They're getting asked all these terrible questions.
Mm.
So a lot of times we just say, hey, why don't we all sit on the floor together so that they're sitting with the dog. They're much more relaxed. They might be laying on the floor with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to tell their story in a much more relaxed atmosphere.
Oh, my God. That must just be like night and day for these kids. I mean, I can't. Oh, this is amazing.
We hope we get used a lot more, and we hope this program continues to grow and other organizations start doing this. Because it is such a great program.
It really is. I mean, it's brilliant. We need to take a minute for station identification. So I am talking to Joanne Rittenhouse of the Animal League all about court support therapy dogs. We'll be back in about a minute, minute and a half. So stay tuned.
Bob's Red Mill has been milling whole grains since 1978. When you mill whole grains, you get all three parts, the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. The bran, or the roughage, makes up about 14% of the whole grain. It's the outer skin of the edible kernel. It contains large amounts of B vitamins, some protein, trace minerals, phytochemicals, but most importantly, dietary fiber. The germ is only about 2.5% of the kernel. It's actually the sprouting section of the seed, what's going to grow into a plant. It's usually separated during milling process because it contains most of the fat and therefore has a shorter shelf life. The endosperm is the main energy storage unit of the seed. That's where the growing plant gets its energy before it can start photosynthesizing and making its own. It makes up a huge portion of the grain, about 83%, and it's the main source that's used for white flour. When you make white flour, you get rid of the germ and the bran and just have the white endosperm left. It contains almost all the carbohydrates. It also contains protein and iron and some of the other B vitamins as well. It's kind of what you classically think of when you're thinking of flour. So all that's there when you're milling with whole grains. But when you mill with whole grains, you also get the bran, which is the kind of roughage and gives that, that's what gives that, that kind of color to it. Also gives you extra fiber that helps you to be regular. And you also get the germ, which adds the fat and the flavor, which we all like from whole grains. Learn more at bobsredmill.com/podcast.
Hey, I'm Jimmy Carboni, host of Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Our show's about beer, cider, things behind it like grains and malts and hop growers. And we'll talk to beer bar owners, brewers, kind of the whole world of what's going on in drinks. Tune in on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Support my show and all of the Heritage Radio Network programs. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the Beating Hearts donut.
And we are back. I'm talking to Joanne Rittenhouse all about Companions for Courage, and I am completely fascinated here. I think this is the greatest thing I've heard in a very long time, to be totally honest with you. So, Joanne, are any of these dogs available for adoption?
No, they're not. They are our dogs, and like I said, they're either rescues, but they belong to us. So we are a therapy dog team. That means that we're a handler and a dog. And we are insured as a team, and we have to follow certain rules and regulations in order to be insured. We're all insured for $5 million for liability.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for us. If we fall down and get hurt, we're not covered.
Great.
But if our dog bites somebody, and I'm not concerned about our dogs biting, but, you know, somebody could trip over the leash.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that you don't think about. Maybe the dog might scratch somebody.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to have that coverage. Like I said, some of our dogs are rescues,
mm-hmm.
and all of our dogs belong to us, and they're all working therapy dogs. So when they're not doing the courtroom thing,
mm-hmm.
they're going to nursing homes, they're going to assisted livings, maybe we're doing reading programs. We also do another program called Humane Education,
mm-hmm.
And that we do through the Animal League, which is a rescue. And Humane Education is when we go in and we talk to children about being responsible pet owners.
Nice.
Because, you know, every cage that we empty, there's 20 more dogs waiting to come in.
Yeah.
And it's just a vicious cycle. It just keeps going on and on. So how do you stop it? The way you stop it is you educate.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have this education program. And we speak to about 7,000 children a year.
Holy cow.
In Florida. You know, we have to change it. We have a coloring book that we give out, and the coloring book talks about special needs pets.
Cool.
Talks about being responsible pet owners. Talks about being safe around dogs, the right way to approach a dog.
Nice.
It's amazing. You have a dog in a vest, and everybody thinks that dog's okay, and they come running up to the dog.
Oh, yeah.
But there's still a way to come up and ask first. Always ask first.
Mm-hmm.
So we go over all those things. And then with the coloring book, we hope that the message goes home to the parents. We try to emphasize neuter and spay.
Nice.
Because that's really important,
yeah.
So that we don't have all these extra puppies and kittens, especially this time of year, it's kitten season.
Totally. Totally.
So all the dogs belong to us, and they're not available. All of our therapy dogs belong to us. However, if you would like to adopt, the Animal League is an adoption center. That's who we fall under. That's who our 501c3 is under.
Cool.
The Animal League is a rescue. That's our top priority. We bring in dogs and cats and kittens and puppies, and we find them new homes. We rescue about 1,200 dogs and cats every year.
My word!
But we also feel that there's so many other things to do in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And Companions for Courage is one of our outreach programs. Humane Education is our outreach program. We also do a program called Nourish the Needy.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, the economy was, you know, not as good as it is now.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people who were trying to surrender their dogs and cats to us for the simple reason they couldn't afford to feed them.
Ugh.
Well, we were lucky. We get a lot of food donations. So we decided, you know what, with all this extra food, let's start giving it to people.
Nice.
So we redistribute it. Dog food, cat food throughout Lake and Sumner County in Florida, and it goes to the food banks, and people can come in and get food for their dogs and cats.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that before. That's fantastic.
And hopefully that program catches on throughout the country. And we also supply food to Meals on Wheels, because think about it. If you can't get out to get food for yourself,
totally.
You can't get out and get food for your pets. And so many of those people that get meals from Meals on Wheels, they were giving their food to their animals.
Oh, God, yeah. I can totally
now
see that.
They're able to feed their pets. So there's just so many things to do in the community. Problem is there's only so much money and only so much time and only so many volunteers.
I hear you. And it's like, I mean, when someone joins your team with their dog, like how intense is the training for the therapy dog and the handler? Like, is this an extended period of time? Like, how does it work?
Well, when we bring in new teams, they, like I said, they have to be an active therapy dog team for a minimum of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through an interview process. Their dog goes through an interview process. And I always say, I'm not really worried about the dog.
Totally. I hear you.
You know, the handler has to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many times when we're told to come to a deposition or a hearing, and it gets postponed or gets canceled. And you can't get upset. You just got to smile and go with the program.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you hear really difficult testimony, and it's hard to keep a poker face. And a lot of times when those children are talking or giving a deposition,
mm-hmm.
they're going to look at you. And you can't make a face or shake your head or roll your eyes. You just have to sit there with a poker face because we can't say anything. We're only a dog handler.
That's got to be really – that would be the hardest part for me. That would be
it
the
is.
Hardest
Sometimes
part.
Sometimes it's very difficult not to say anything
Oof.
Or to just run over and hug the child.
Yeah, like burst into tears. I mean, that would be me. Yeah. I'd just be a mess up there. I mean, I'm amazed at how stoic you guys are. I mean, seriously, like major hats off to all y'all. This is extraordinarily hard work.
It is. It does. You don't realize until you're actually in there and you're hearing the testimony. And it's so hard to believe that this is happening to children.
Ugh. Yeah, it is. It's a shame, you know, but you guys are helping, and that's tremendous. And it's so much more than so many people do. So, I mean, how successful have you is this program?
Well, like I said, in the beginning, it was really hard to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was told to get ready because they feel that the floodgates are going to open. So that's a good thing. We're going to be bringing in some new teams. We're always looking for new teams, especially in the Central Florida area.
Nice.
If anybody's interested, please apply to companionsforcourage.org. And, you know, we'll go through the interview process. But we kind of try to partner you with another active group or another active team so that you have an idea of what you're – I mean, just going into the courthouse. But let's face it, when we go into the courthouse, we have to go through the metal detector and they wand the dogs. So the dogs have to be okay with somebody running up to them with a – wand.
Yeah, with a stick, exactly.
For a metal detector to see if the dog's carrying something. I mean, it's the world we live in today.
Wow.
But your dog's going to have to be okay with somebody coming over and doing that.
You know, it's funny because before, earlier today, I was down in City Hall in the city in New York. It's actually, there aren't many places that you can legally dance. And so there's I know, it's insane. There's 97 licenses for dance places where you can legally dance. And I have almost been arrested for dancing about 10 years ago. And a lot of friends of mine actually were, because apparently the law is that if you have three people in a room and there's music and they are either swaying, bopping their heads, or moving their hands, they are dancing, and this is illegal. So we all showed up at City Hall today for this huge deposition and just to kind of change this law, which has been around since Prohibition. And I mean, just walking into City Hall, it's like, you know, metal detectors outside, all kinds of crazy stuff there. Then you get in and, you know, there's police everywhere, which there should be, granted, you know, but it, I got to tell you, it was nerve wracking. And we were just going in to listen to a deposition. We weren't even doing, you know, we were just sitting there. It wasn't like anything, like nobody's life was on the line or, you know, some horrible, horrible story. It's just this awful racist law that we're trying to change. And I mean, that was nerve wracking in itself. So,
yeah. So you can imagine what these children are going through.
It's just amazing. I mean, it really, really is. And I love the fact that the dogs are just, that they're capable of doing so much with them, you know, and just being there and being supportive. Have you guys thought of expanding your animal base, or are you just going to stick with dogs?
Right now, the way the motion reads, the law reads, it's just dogs. However, we would like maybe someday to see cats get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a request for a cat, so, and there are therapy cats, so who knows? Who knows what the future holds?
Right? I mean, you could wind up with, like, rabbits and all kinds of stuff in the courtroom.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
In theory, you know what I mean? I don't know how good a therapy rabbit would be. They're kind of, you know, afraid of everything, but it might just for the fun.
You never know. You never know. I'm sure the right one's out there.
Get, like, therapy gerbils. I mean, this could just expand and expand, you know?
Yes. Yes. But, and you have equine therapy. Equine therapy has been proven to be so successful with special needs children and, you know, children with disabilities. So that's another great program.
There's something about, like, dogs and horses, and I don't know if cats have it, too. I know more about the dogs and the horses, where, like, if some kid is under duress or under stress or has learning disabilities or is disabled or something, for some reason, it's like horses and dogs have this like empathy gene where they're like, oh, you're different? Well, that's okay. And it always fascinates me. I used to work with horses and we occasionally would have someone come in a wheelchair, like very, very rarely. So the horses never saw wheelchairs. You know, they never saw like what was coming in. And they would, you know, at first they'd be like, huh. But then immediately, a minute or two, they'd go over and be like, let's see what's going on. And then you're dealing with a child who, you know, in most cases doesn't know how to handle a dog or doesn't know how to handle a horse with their, you know, and they're like poking them in the eye or sticking their finger in their nose or, you know, sticking their fingers in their mouths. And these animals are just taking it and are just being sweet as pie. And there's something about them that knows that, you know, something's different here and I'm going to take care of this kid.
Yep, they understand.
Yeah, they do.
We don't give them credit for as smart as they are.
No, because, I mean, you know, we got big egos, and to admit that, like, you know, something might be as smart or even smarter than us that's got four legs is a pretty big hit for a lot of people, sadly. I kind of hate that, you know? I mean, my God, I had a Jack Russell that was smarter than probably 20% of the population. And so, what, do you have a favorite story about Companions for Courage?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have a favorite story or a favorite incident about all of this?
Probably my favorite story is the one about the child asking, you know, if Newman would protect her. That just really took me by surprise. You know, the children really want the dogs to stay in their lives as long as, you know, the foster home is okay with it, or the group home. And, you know, we get to do some other fun things. We get to do, like, DCF Christmas party.
Oh, fun.
We get to do a Christmas party at the juvenile center. We do reading programs. You know, when we do the meet and greet, the ideal way to do this is to have a meet and greet or have three meet and greets. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes we go right to trial, right to deposition.
Wow.
But when we are doing the meet and greets, we try to have the children maybe, we have our own coloring books They go over what's going to happen to them in the courthouse.
Oh, cool.
So that kind of prepares them, too. And then we have our own reading book that talks about a dog that got rescued from the Animal League and became a therapy dog and all his adventures. So we've tried to think a lot of things through.
Mm-hmm.
But every case is different. Every case takes you in a whole other direction that you weren't expecting to go.
Wow.
And Companions for Courage is an evolving program. When we first started, we were just supposed to be for criminal trials, but there's so many other things that we're getting asked to do mm-hmm. and that we're able to do at this time.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I'm just blown away at all of this. You know, it's like when I found you guys, I was just like, this is one of the most amazing things. And I love it because it's so simple, and yet it's brilliant. And that's that's my favorite thing in life. I love to really sit like, why didn't anyone think of this before? You know, and I love how effective it is. I love the fact that you're helping these kids and giving them some, you know, basically a bodyguard.
Yes. Yes. Their own private little bodyguards.
Oh my God, this is so good. And you're creating generations of dog lovers too, that are probably going to get a rescue because they're dealing with rescues. Like, this is so good.
Actually, you asked me about one of my favorite stories. I here it is. I worked with an adult mm-hmm. who has special needs, and she loved my dog so much, my therapy dog who's deaf, and she wanted a dog. And about a year later after, we still stay in touch, but I had this little foster dog that came to me
mm-hmm.
who was really in bad shape. She was brought into a kill shelter to be put to sleep.
Oh, God.
She was only about 6-8 weeks old. She was a little white boxer.
Mm.
She was blind. And at the time, they had thought she was deaf, but
uh-huh.
she just turned out to be blind. Well, you know what? She got adopted by this child.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, my God, that's so good.
That was just such a win-win situation. The dog got a great home. And the child has her own therapy dog, and she did become a therapy dog.
That's fantastic. It's like, I want Carl to help like a deaf child, because I think their head would explode if you started signing and the kid understood it and the dog understood it. You know, this would just like expand so much in terms of, you know, because like people that are deaf feel like they're different and feel like, you know, it's really hard for them to deal with life in many cases, because people that hear don't understand what it's like to be deaf. So if there was a deaf dog with them, I think it would just kind of be like, oh my God, you know, it's like I have something in common with this animal and this makes it even better.
Well, we used to go to the National Deaf Academy, which was one of Carl's favorite places because everybody spoke his language.
Oh, that's so cool.
And he's been invited to go to the local college during their sign language class. And he doesn't know everything, but he definitely watches. He
mm-hmm.
watches everybody's hands all the time. And, you know, I would have a deaf dog anytime. That's the only dogs I would ever have again.
Really?
Well, you know what? He was so easy to train. He was the easiest dog I ever had a housebreak.
That's wild.
Usually, their senses that they work with is their nose and their sight, and
mm-hmm.
then their hearing.
Mm.
So think about this. Carl's not afraid of thunder and lightning. He's not afraid of fireworks.
Oh, my God.
And he can sleep anywhere. Isn't that wonderful?
That's unbelievable, actually, when you think of it that way. That's like a miracle.
It is. Like I said, deaf dogs are great.
I'm like, I want a deaf dog now. I mean, this is especially in New York, you know, because it's like, it's loud here. Wow. That's so cool.
And it's loud
cool.
in the courthouse, so that's what's great about having a deaf dog in the courthouse. He doesn't get startled by anything.
That's a really good point. When I've done jury duty, it's like the few times that the judge is like, hit the gavel. I mean, that
yep.
just makes me jump out of my skin, you know,
yep.
so like...
But all of our dogs are good. All of them can handle the noise.
Mm-hmm.
But Carl can especially handle noise. It doesn't bother him.
So cool. This is so cool. And I hate it because we're running out of time. And I'm totally digging this interview. And I'm thrilled at how much that you're sharing with us and how much we're learning. Because I think that, you know, any situation where animals are working with people in order to better lives, whether it be the animal side or the human side, I think it's so important these days. And I think that, you know, slowly we're starting to understand the fact that, you know, we're really not that different from these guys. I mean, short of having thumbs and being able to do math, I mean, I think probably in many cases my dog was way smarter than I am. And this is just, I love what you guys do. I think it's amazing. Anybody that's listening, we're going to give you the website information now. If you want to donate, please do, because this is something serious and this is something good. And I would love to see this go national or even worldwide, because kids need support. And to have it from like something warm and fuzzy that you can put your feet on when you're telling the truth, I think would just make a huge difference.
Yes, it does.
I love it. And so where can people track you guys down?
They can contact us at companionsforcourage.org.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own website, and we have a Facebook page. Please like our Facebook page, Companions for Courage.
Yeah, all you
like
this.
Or they can reach us at 352-602-3428. And we do accept donations. We're all volunteers. We do have insurance expenses and printing expenses. So we can always use help with covering that.
Definitely. And that's the thing, too. Like, when you're working nonprofit and you're volunteering, it's like things add up. You don't realize, you know, it's like, oh, I can do this. I've got a vest and I've got the dog. And okay, let's go. And then it's like, wait, no, you've got insurance and you've got food and you've got travel expenses and. And so if any of us can help you out, I would love that. So I'm going to harass everybody here. So you got to go on to Facebook and like Companions for Courage, because we need to spread the word about this. This is really, really important. And I think this is a kind of situation, or this kind of organization is one that you really don't know about until you need it. And so I'm really thrilled to share this information with people. So it's, you know, a little grain in the back of their head in case, God forbid, anyone does need this service, that they know it's available and they can actually find it.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times children don't testify, and as they get older, they realize, I should have testified, especially if that person went and continued to do the things that they were doing and hurt other people.
Oh,
it's a guilt complex then.
Oh, that's terrible, but it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, we've had testimony from people that have said, you know, I wish I had a dog at the time.
I'll bet. And your dogs are doing great. I want to like send you like a case of dog treats for all your dogs. This is so sweet. You have absolutely made my day, Joanne. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my God, I've really, really enjoyed this. And if you ever, you know, I want to keep in touch with you all, and let's like catch up in like 6 months or a year from now, because I'd love to see how the program's going and how much it's evolved. And if there's anything I can ever do to help you out on the airways, just please let me know, because I'll be thrilled to do so.
Thank you, and please keep in touch. We'd love to come back and talk again.
If I come down to Florida, I'm going to track you all down. So I want to see this in person. So I'm all over this. Thank you again.
Thank you, and have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And for everybody else, as you may know, this show's only possible thanks to member donations. I would literally not be able to reach you every week without the generosity of HRN members around the world. And now it's your chance to join the club, because the HRN Summer Membership Drive is back. Yay! So becoming a member is really easy and comes with limited edition summer swag, like t-shirts that are awesome, drink cozies, pins for your sweet jean vest or whatever super awesome outfit you're rocking these days. You can sign up for a one-time donation or become a monthly sustaining member by visiting heritageradionetwork.org/donate right now. Let's keep food radio on the airwaves this summer. Thank you guys for listening so much. I appreciate all you do, and I will be coming back to you guys next week with a brand new episode. Until then, take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please Join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.